Welcome to the Sexual Mindfulness Project podcast, where we talk about creating an intentional relationship and how to find joy in slowing down, letting go of judgment, and connecting more deeply with your partner. I'm Dr. Shalom Levitt, and today I'm here with Amber Price and Rebecca Clark. Welcome to this second podcast. We were thinking last week as we were talking about some of the issues that came up that really we ought to maybe focus a little more on women's sexual issues, particularly women's orgasm and what works, what doesn't, some of the issues maybe women should attend to individually, but also with their partner. And so that's kind of what we're going to tackle today. Either of you want to say anything on this topic first off? Rebecca, it seems like you were talking about feedback loops that women may or may not experience. Why don't you describe that?
Yeah, well, I think just to sort of lay a foundation, men are more regular at reaching orgasm in sexual experiences than women are. And so men will orgasm about 90% of the time in a sexual experience, and women are hitting about 50% of the time. So yeah, it's a great idea to talk about why that discrepancy and can we close that gap at all? And one of the issues I think is regarding the fact that with male arousal and orgasm, it's fairly straightforward. It's an easy visual check to see if a man is aroused and enjoying a sexual experience. For women, that feedback is because genitalia is for the most part internal for women. That feedback isn't there. And so a partner sometimes is left guessing about whether his wife is enjoying the experience, if she's feeling aroused, if she's feeling desire, if she's getting closer to orgasm. And so I think it's important for women to take, maybe responsibility is the word, to give verbal feedback or other kinds of feedback, but to try to clarify some of what she's finding arousing, try to clarify that to her partner.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Any thoughts, Amber?
Yeah, a couple of things I was thinking about as Rebecca was saying that. I think that the way that we're socialized today is kind of this idea a lot of times, and I think we talked about this last time a little bit, but that men are sort of these, they're the sexual beings and women just kind of follow suit. And so if you've come into a relationship thinking that, a couple of things might be happening. You might be expecting that your sexual partner knows how to pleasure you or knows how to make this work. And likely he's as clueless as you are. And so you can't really assume that this is his job. That's kind of what Rebecca was saying, but it may be just that's the way that you came into this believing. And it may be that you don't know either. And again, we've talked about that last week also, but just taking the time to figure that out between the two of you may take some time, and that's totally fine. And in fact, good.
Yeah, I really like that suggestion. I think just getting to know each other's bodies, and just like Rebecca said, and then Amber echoed, men seem to be a little easier to get to know, right? Because all of their genitalia is on the outside, and we see the response that arousal has on men's anatomy. We don't see that for women, and oftentimes because of how women have been socialized, they themselves have not taken the time to get to know their body and to know, okay, this is my clitoris. This is the kind of pressure or repetitive touch that stimulates me, or here's the labia and how do I feel when that's touched, or, you know, all of the details that sometimes we feel a little ashamed about even discussing with our partner. And that's something that we need to address. Why are we not talking about this openly with our partner? It should be actually really fun to discover each other's bodies and kind of get to know each other on that intimate level. You know, what's interesting about the clitoris is that women sometimes ignore it. They're not aware how important the clitoris is in sexual arousal for women. The only purpose of the clitoris, it has no other function other than to create pleasure, to create heightened arousal, to help us move along closer on that journey towards orgasm. The clitoris, only the very tip of it is external on our bodies. And yet it has quite a bit of structure internally and spreads across the woman's inner thighs. The nerves of it can spread down the woman's labia and into her inner thighs. And so women are so different even from each other. And so really, you do have to take the time to get to know how you function. Just because your girlfriend or you heard somebody tried this, you know, particular method, that may not work for you because you're different than other women even. Certainly different than men, but even different than women. And so women have to take responsibility, like Rebecca said, and it's a pleasure, right, to take this responsibility. Get to know yourself. Take a mirror. Get to know how you actually look so that you can then be a gentle, well-informed teacher to your partner and help him understand how you work and how touch, you know, impacts your arousal, how it moves you along that cycle of arousal.
You know, that brings to mind for me this kind of not only journey to orgasm, but sort of this journey that lasts a lifetime to sexual satisfaction and to intimacy and creating closeness, where we don't remain the same sexually, you know, from even, I think probably from day to day almost. And that's part of the beauty of it, is that we're not only different from our partner, but we're even different from ourselves as we kind of progress throughout our lives. And that can be a fun part of sex, is the surprise and the discovery. I think, you know, wouldn't it be a shame if it took 6 months to get to know each other and then we knew all there was to know? That's simply not the case, in part because we continue to change. Certain things might feel good tomorrow that didn't feel good yesterday, or might not feel good tomorrow that felt great yesterday. And so I think it's important, just that continuing communication is really important when we're thinking about sexual satisfaction and orgasm and these issues.
Do you want to add anything, Amber?
Yeah, this is maybe going to take it kind of a little bit of a different direction. But, you know, when you mentioned the mirror, taking out a mirror and getting to know yourself, I can hear women cringing a little bit at that. I know that can be kind of an uncomfortable thing. And it just was making me think about, I mean, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable to get to know your body, especially if you're a woman who's not comfortable with even the more visible parts of your body. And, you know, we've talked about how much that can actually matter in your sexual relationship. When you're super self-conscious of what you look like, it can cause almost this disconnect in your mind where you're not physically present during the sexual act. You're instead thinking about that roll of fat that you're embarrassed by, or your stretch marks, or, you know, whatever it is. And it takes your mind away from where it should be to actually be more in the moment and feeling those sensations. And so I think, you know, taking that mirror and exploring yourself, but maybe just in all areas, just kind of working to be more confident in who you are and learning to love your body in all ways. And it's hard. I feel like that's such a hard thing for women. I struggle with it. You know, we're shown these idealized images of women all the time, and it's natural for us to compare to that. And so it can be a real struggle, but I think there's a lot of value in exploring your whole body, and then especially the more intimate parts that Shalom mentioned.
Yeah, that's so important. I think body image is going to be something that we're going to have a complete discussion on, and maybe how to tackle that. But absolutely, just learning to respect and honor and just appreciate your body. But particularly when we're talking about women's orgasm, really valuing what a woman's body and yours in particular, what your body brings to the sexual relationship. And we're not trying to make this out like it's just about bodies, because there's another layer of emotions, and then another layer of the quality of the relationship. All of these things factor in, particularly for women. They do factor in for men, but we see that women are really honed in to the quality of the relationship and how emotions are shared within the couple. And so I think this is so important for us to just set the stage for how complex women's orgasm is. Not only are women's bodies a little more complicated, because women's bodies are ever ready to get pregnant, right? And so that takes a whole lot of systems always being in perfect harmony with each other. And sometimes they're not in harmony, and that causes problems too. So we have just the woman's body is one of those systems that's quite complicated. But then we also have emotions and partner emotions, the woman's emotions, the partner emotions, and then the quality of the relationship. And all of these things factor in to how well a woman feels prepared and how consistently she can experience orgasm.
And that's not even to mention things like, oh, what if a kid knocks on the door, or I've got a long to-do list on my mind, or, you know, just the busyness of life, taking time for it and things, you know, there's so many factors that play in.
So, you know, that actually brings up this idea of sexual mindfulness, because women have a much harder time compartmentalizing, you know, just being present right here and now. For some reason, men are just better at it. I don't know if that's something that's been socialized or if it's just a function of women's duties and tasks and how we integrate things with each other. But for some reason, we know over a number of different studies and a number of different samples of women, we see that women consistently are lower in how mindful they are in their general life and specifically in sex. I think we've seen a few differences in some studies, but pretty consistently we're seeing that women struggle to stay in the present moment. Why do you guys think that is? I mean, I have some ideas myself, but I'd love to hear from you. Why do you think we have such a hard time being aware of the moment we're in?
You know, I think part of it is the flip side of maybe a female strength, part of nurturing, and whether we come by that just by nature or we're taught to do that. I think we want to make sure the world is okay. And I think we kind of feel this sense of, you know what, if I don't get birthday candles for the cake, there will be no birthday candles to blow out on the cake. And so that thought can creep into your mind when, you know, I don't think that my husband is necessarily concerned about these things, these details, but it's part of who I am in terms of taking care of my children or thinking about maybe who I minister to. And it's not to say that I'm more thoughtful than my husband or that women are more thoughtful than men, but I think that there's a level of maybe outward thinking of nurturing and caretaking that's really a beautiful strength of women, but that can sort of run away with itself, or at least it does with me, where I start to think about maybe everybody else, but then maybe I don't show up on the list until kind of a little bit lower. And I think research bears that out, where women are more concerned or thoughtful of male orgasm in a sexual experience encounter than they are of their own. Sometimes there has been research where they've asked about sexual satisfaction and women have just reported on their partner's satisfaction and not even thinking about their own kind of experience. But as long as my partner, you know, orgasmed or seems to enjoy it, then that was a good sexual experience for women, and they were completely eliminating their own sort of experience. So I think this mindfulness doesn't only happen in the bedroom, this kind of difference between men and women. I think it happens all day long, and then we just take that sort of pattern into the bedroom with us.
And I think, I mean, this is going to bring it back to the body again, but I think that mind-body connection is what mindfulness is all about. But I've thought a lot in the last couple months about what are the real differences between men and women versus what is socialized to be different between us. And the only one I've really come up with is our embodied experience. We have different bodies. That's the only concrete difference that I can see. And when you really think about that, though, the different bodies does lend itself to differing experiences in the world. You know, if you just think about, like was mentioned, you know, we've got baby making systems inside of our bodies that are always going. And with that comes discomforts and, you know, just different things that maybe as women, we learn to kind of ignore that feeling because it's not always comfortable when you've got cramps happening or a headache or, you know, whatever it is. And I don't know, I just think that differing body experience comes into play. And then again, that just kind of goes back to that objectification piece that I had mentioned before. Just both men and women are experiencing objectification through the media and things, but I think women are experiencing it more. And I think that that just really does play on that connection between your mind and your body. When you need to be focused on body and you're self-conscious of body, again, that just becomes kind of problematic.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, there's some good research trying to dispel some myths about sex. One of the myths being that men think about sex, you know, every minute of every day, and women far less. Women don't think about sex as often. And while we do see some difference in how often men and women think about sex, we also see differences, just like Amber was talking about. We see differences between men and women about how often men think about their body, their physical needs. Like men think about being hungry more often than women do. They think about being thirsty or tired more often than women do. So it kind of comes back to what Rebecca was saying. And I appreciated that you say maybe part of the reason we're less mindful is the flip side of a good characteristic that we have. You know, we're more nurturing. We are more outward focused, which is good until it's not, right? And that's, I think, what maybe men and women can both learn from each other. We both have these really beautiful characteristics that seem to come to us quite naturally, maybe because of our different embodied experience. And so it might be helpful for us to take a look at someone, if it's our husband or a friend, someone who is mindful, and start paying attention to what it is they do, what they notice, how they slow down their thoughts, and start maybe integrating that into our lives. That's not a selfish activity. That's not a selfish thing to do, to slow down your life and actually be present in the moment. That's actually quite skillful. And we know from research that being more mindful actually improves your emotion regulation. It improves your creativity. It diminishes depression, anxiety. It increases your communication in your relationship. And then what we're talking about today, it actually increases your level of enjoyment in sex because you are more embodied. You are actually connected with your body and paying attention. You're aware of the sensations you're feeling. You're aware of, you know, what your partner is doing, but how it's impacting you.
You had just mentioned the slowing down and that it can be hard or something we don't want to do. And it just makes me think currently, as we're recording this, it's coronavirus quarantine time. And I just think, you know, we've been at it, what, like 8 weeks. And in the beginning, I was hearing a lot of my friends really griping and their anxiety and discomfort with this new change in lifestyle. And the longer we go, the more I'm hearing people say, I really kind of like this slower pace of life. Wow, this is really working for me. What can I do when life goes back to normal to change this? So I just think maybe we deep down desire that slower pace, but we've got to make space for it and learn to appreciate it more.
Another thought that I've had is sometimes women are self-conscious about being physically generally slower to reach orgasm than our men. And like we've been talking, there are physical differences that create that different timeline, but that men want women's pleasure in a good relationship. That is important to men, that their partner would feel and experience pleasure. And so the trick is not to have that kind of, we can talk maybe a little bit more about this, not to have the only pleasure that counts be orgasm. We don't want to have that be the only sexual outcome that matters to us. But giving ourselves permission, understanding that our partner wants that for us, I think is important. And giving ourselves that permission to enjoy it and to think that, you know what, our slower pace can be a beautiful thing. It can be something that we are adding and bringing to the sexual relationship rather than, you know, we're demanding something that's hard work for our partner or whatever. I think it can be a positive instead of a negative.
Yeah, I really like that. Too often in research, even, we kind of talk about women and what they bring to sexuality as kind of, you know, I'm using air quotes, the problem, that women are the problem because we're slower or we have lower desire, sometimes struggle to have consistent orgasm. And I think it's really unfortunate because it hasn't been talked about that what women bring to the sexual experience is often this depth of meaning. Because we do care about these multiple areas of the relationship and the emotions and, you know, all of these other things. And I like to explain it to people in this way. You know, if you cover one eye, you can still see the whole room. You can see the scenery with just one eye. Cover the other eye, same thing is true. It's not until we let our eyes work together, even though they have these slightly different perspectives from each other, when we let our eyes work together, we have this added component that neither eye on its own has individually, and that is depth perception. We have this additional perspective on the world because we are slightly different. And so I think when we talk about men contribute to the relationship and what women contribute, yes, they're different things, but they're both very important perspectives. And so just because men are very steady, consistent drive towards, you know, sexual frequency, women contribute this depth of meaning and quality of relationship that they are constantly pushing for. I think those are two really important things. Women absolutely enjoy the physical elements of good sex, just like men do. Men also enjoy a good quality relationship and sharing emotions, even though it may be more difficult for some men. Men enjoy that. So we're contributing those two things to each other. And I think we need to really step back and start talking about the contributions of what women bring to the sexual experience. So let's go into a little more detail about what sexual mindfulness actually is. When we talk about mindfulness in general, you know, like we've mentioned, we're talking about slowing down our thought process, focusing on our breath, and kind of just noticing the details of our body. How does it feel as we walk down the path? Do we notice our feet? Do we notice the strength of our back? Do we notice the breeze on our face? You know, there's so many things for us to notice. And if we can slow down our thoughts and kind of eliminate the noise of my grocery list and what I haven't gotten done at home and these assignments that need to be graded, you know, if we can eliminate all of that and focus on how our body is experiencing this moment, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about general mindfulness. Can we do that while we eat, while we visit with a friend? It's like a big step up to then apply that to a sexual relationship. You know, when I'm actually naked with my partner and I'm very aware, but in a critical way, of my body. And maybe it creates some anxiety for me, or maybe I'm already worried that I have a hard time orgasming, and so I'm already worked up about that in my mind. So can we slow down our thoughts while we're feeling some arousal and focus on how our body is experiencing this process of touch and connection with our partner?
I think that's really important. I think I'm just echoing what Amber said earlier, that research has shown that women are somewhat disconnected from their sense of arousal. Sometimes women will report not being aroused when in fact physically they are. You can measure whether women are sexually aroused or not. And so just stepping back and slowing down and paying attention can be really powerful and really helpful for women. I think it cuts down the mystery, not only for her partner, but for herself, to slow it down and focus.
I keep thinking about attending this mindfulness workshop, and we were told to eat a mindful lunch, and they had chocolate chip cookies. And I have never enjoyed a chocolate chip cookie as much as I did that day. And I think part of the idea with mindful eating is supposed to be that you'll want less if you eat slowly. But I'll tell you, as I paid close attention to that chocolate chip cookie, I was like, give me more chocolate chip cookies. I just think sometimes we go through the motions of things and just don't even appreciate them. Like, I always like a chocolate chip cookie, but do I really enjoy it, or do I just eat it and move on with my life? And I think you could equate that with spending time with your partner in a sexually mindful way also. Like, instead of just rushing through it, spending time enjoying it and seeing what's actually so good about it and things.
Amber is referring to some research we did where we performed an intervention where we actually taught couples how to be more sexually mindful. And we measured them before they were taught this process of being more mindful during sex. And then we measured them afterward and kind of followed them for a few months to see if this improvement lasted for months. And it did. That's the amazing thing. What we're talking about right here today is really simple. It's a little harder to implement when we're actually in a situation that we're feeling arousal. But the more we practice it, the more we actually see that people report enjoying sex more, actually having sex more, and communicating more about their experience. Just a whole host of things. Their anxiety decreases. And so it's really such a simple tool, but so powerful, that actually slowing down and paying attention to how your partner touching you makes you feel. What is your response to that? And then can you describe it? Can you talk to each other about, you know, wow, that really made me feel tingly, or that wasn't so pleasant, or being open about those sorts of experiences within the sexual experience seem to have a really big impact. I remember we did some qualitative interviews with these couples who went through this program, and some of the couples said, I did not believe that something so simple would have such a big impact in my relationship, but it did. There was one couple in particular who had been very mindful before they ever went through this intervention. And they said, you know, we were already practicing a lot of these things that were taught in this program, but we hadn't realized the importance of doing this every day, either just taking a few minutes to be present with each other, even if it's just a hug. You know, even if you're just being present with each other in a long, slow, quiet embrace, and then sharing. How did that make you feel? A number of people said, it helps me reconnect with my partner after a long day of work. Sometimes it would take us hours to get back in sync with each other. But when we're mindful in a hug or just cuddling, we just reconnect really quickly.
Yeah, I think there's research by John Gottman. He talks about when you hug, and I can't remember if it's for 6 or 8 seconds, that's when the real connection starts to happen. Yeah. And I've kind of made that a priority in my life because my husband really does love the physical touch, just any physical touch. And when he gets home from work or something and I stop and just hug him, and for myself, because I'm a busy on the go person, I have to stop and count and make sure I get to that 8 seconds or whatever.
Yeah,
but it does make a difference in our relationship, even just that little thing.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it makes me think of part of the research that we also saw was that women were really impacted by sexual mindfulness even more than men. Now, men certainly benefited from it, but we just saw a steeper increase in women's experience. That women really, once they understood how to slow down and create this connection, it really benefited how they experienced sex.
So you mentioned the hugging. Are there other specific things that you would tell somebody who's wanting to get started in doing this? Like really specific, tangible things that they could try today or tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a good question. Another exercise is just gazing into each other's eyes. And this one, we usually suggest that couples do it silently, that you don't talk while you're just looking into each other's eyes for about 3 to 4 minutes. And it's funny, that doesn't sound like very long, but when you're just looking at each other for 3 to 4 minutes, it's a long time. And what's interesting is we found again with this activity that it tends to bring up emotions. Other activities like the mindful hugging, that seems to help couples feel really connected. Gazing into each other's eyes seems to bring up some emotions, some good, some bad. It's like this little portal into your soul. And it helps couples maybe tap into things that they need to address that they didn't realize was under the surface. You know, maybe an issue that they had kind of tamped down and had tried to ignore, but this will bring it up. And that's not a bad thing. Some people might say, wow, you know, I'm going to avoid any tamped down, suppressed emotions. But instead, what we know happens as you allow that to surface, it clears those channels in our body and helps us be able to connect with our partner more readily and at a deeper level. We feel quite intimate with each other. So yeah, that's another really good activity. There's a couple of other activities, and we'll put them on the website so that people can read about them and try them. And again, we'll also have an ask a question link, or we'll have a tab to ask questions. And if this is something you're interested in, or you try it and you've got questions, that will be a good resource for clarifying anything. All right, well, that's all we're going to cover today. We hope that as you think about some of these ideas that we've talked about, the complexity of women's bodies, of their sexual systems, how they integrate relationship quality, emotions, as well as their physical experience, that you understand whether you're the male partner of the relationship or the female partner of the relationship, you understand a little better the complexity of women's sexual experience and why there seems to be this orgasm gap between men and women. Whether yourself or as a partner, if you can start to slow down the process, be a little more mindful so that women can be more tuned in to their bodies and be able to reach orgasm consistently. Not that that's the only goal, but that they can feel this connection. Thank you.